Shabbos Daf Chaf Gimel. Rav Shesha says a guest is still chayav in menorah, meaning even if you're not at your own home, you still have to do the mitzvah of menorah. Rav Zera says that when he was a student in yeshiva and he was living and staying by someone else's house, even though he was only a guest there, he used to pay the host some money, would give him some money to join in on his menorah, and he would be able to get the mitzvah with him. However, once he got married and he was still sometimes staying by other people's houses, he stopped doing this because he said, my wife is at home and she's lighting for my house, so I don't have to do this. Rav Yehoshua ben Levi says that you can use all oils for lighting the menorah. However, olive oil is the best. Abaye says initially Rabba would use sesame seed oil because he said it stays lit for longer. However, once he heard what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said, he would only use olive oil, and he said, oh, this is the clearest light, so this is what I'm going to use. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said all oils can be used to make inks. However, olive oil is the best for making ink. So we have a question. Is olive oil the best for kneading the soot to make the ink, or is it the best for creating the smoke for the glass vessels that they would use to produce the soot that they would then knead? So Rav Shmuel bar Zutri brings in a braisa that says all oils are good for the ink. Olive oil are good for making ink. However, olive oil is the best for kneading and for making the smoke. So it seems like it's great for both. Rav Shmuel bar Zutra, different than Zutri, teaches a braisa that says all oils are good for making the smoke, but olive oil is the best. So this seems to say that's only for the smoke. And Rav Huna in this braisa says that all saps are good for the ink, but the best to use is blackthorn gum. Rav says that you have to say a bracha when you light the menorah. Rav Yirmiyah says you have to say a bracha when you see the menorah. Rav Yehuda says on the first day, the person who sees the menorah makes two brachos, and the person who lights the menorah makes three brachos. On the subsequent days, the person who lights the menorah only says two, and the person who sees it says one. So which one bracha are you not saying after the first day? The Gemara answers, you do not say a Shechianu. But why is that the bracha you don't say? Why don't you say a Sha'asa Nisim on the subsequent days? The Gemara answers, because there was a nace on every one of the 8 nights, so on every one of the 8 days, so that's why you say a bracha of Sha'asa Nisim every day. So what is the bracha that you say? The Gemara answers, Asher Kidshanu Satavet Sivanu Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. However, when did Hashem command us that we say Asher Kidshanu Satavet Sivanu, which implies that Hashem commanded us, that says Hashem commanded us, Vitzivanu. So Rav Avya answers, we learn it that Hashem commanded us because the pasuk says Lo Tasur, which implies that you have to follow what the Rabbanan said, and Chanukah is a Rabbanan, so you have to follow it, and that's why you could say Asher Kidshanu Satavet Sivanu. Rav Nechemia answers from the pasuk of Sha'alavicha V'yagedcha Zeknecha V'yomrulach, again, similar theme that you have to follow what the Rabbanan say. So Rav Amram questioned this. He brings in a brace that says demai, which is produce that you got from an am haaretz who is unknowledgeable, and the Rabbanan assumed that they didn't take the truma off of it, so they required you to take your own truma off of it afterwards. So it has this special significance, halachic significance of demai. So the braisa says that you can make an eruv with it, you can use it for shitufei mivoos, which allows you to carry from the courtyard, the chatzar, into the mavoi, the alleyway. You can make hamotzi on it, you can make a zimun over it, you could take the truma from it when you're not wearing clothes, and you can even do this during Beinosh Mashos on Erev Shabbos, with twilight of Friday. So the main point of this is that if every Derabanan requires a bracha, and Demai would require a bracha when you take Truma off of it, then how can you take the Truma off of it when you're not wearing clothes? We know that you need to be wearing clothes to say a bracha. So Abaye answers, no, there's a difference. When you have a definite Derabanan, meaning a Derabanan which is like a definite thing, that's when you make a bracha off of it. But when you make a bracha on it. However, on a Derabanan which comes from a suffix, from a doubt, like the case of Demai, where we're unsure if the Ama Aretz took Truma or not, that would not require a bracha. However, we say a bracha on Yontiv Sheni, the second day of Yontiv, which is only a Derabanan, and that only comes from a doubt because we're not sure which day is actually Yontiv. So why do we say a bracha then? According to Abaye, who says that a Suffolk Derabanan would not have a bracha, the answer is that so people don't come to disrespect the Yontiv Sheni. We want people to think this is a full-fledged Yontiv Sheni, so we require a bracha. Rava brings a totally different answer. He says, no, really, you would say a bracha on a Derabanan which comes from a Suffolk, and the reason you don't say a bracha by Demai is because it's not a Derabanan Gzeira, rather it's just a stringency that the Rabbanan instituted, because most Ama Aretz do actually take off Truma, so there's only a stringency that you can follow. Rav Huna says, if you live in a courtyard with two doors, you need to have two menorahs. Rava says, this is only if they're on separate sides, but if they're both on the same side, meaning they're both facing north, east, southwest, then you don't need two different menorahs. So why? It seems like the reason is because we're worried about suspicion, that people are going to think that this is a house that really has two families, and only one of the families lit the menorah. However, whose suspicion are we worried about? If it's people from outside of your town, then even if the doors are on the same side, according to Rava, you should need to have two menorahs, because people won't know. They'll say, oh, there's still a two-family home. Even though the doors are on the same side, it's still a two-family home, and only one family lit the menorah. Now, if we're talking about the townspeople who are suspicious, then even if the doors are on opposite sides, you shouldn't need another menorah, because the people will know this is a one-family home. So really, we're still worried about the townspeople's suspicion, because they might only see one side, and they'll say, oh, just like, and they'll see one side that doesn't have a menorah, and they'll say, just like there's no menorah on this side, there's no menorah on the other side, and we don't want people to think that you didn't light it all. So where do we learn that we are concerned about suspicions? We bring in a braisa from Rabbi Shimon, who says that for four reasons, we wait until we're done reaping and harvesting before we designate peah, which is the corner of your field that you designate for the poor. The four reasons are theft from poor, that we don't want the owner to wait for poor people to be around, and then he'll call his relatives who are poor and say, okay, I'm designating this as peah right now, you guys come and take it while there's no one else around. Second is that we don't want the poor to just stand around idly waiting for you to designate your payah, so they know that there's a set time when you're going to do it. The third is because of suspicion that people are going to pass by and they're going to say, oh, this guy didn't leave any payah. So from here, we see that we are worried and concerned about suspicion. And the fourth is Baal Tichla, which is the pasuk that teaches peah, that you have to do peah at the end. However, if that pasuk is teaching peah, then all these are explanations of Baal Tichla. These are all reasons why we have Baal Tichla. So why do we include that as one of the four? So if our answer is no, really the fourth reason is because of the deceivers that were worried that the farmers will say and pretend, oh, we already took off peah, so we require them to have a set time when they do it. Rav Huna says, a lamp that has two openings on opposite sides can count for two people's menorah. Rava says, if you filled a dish with oil and you surrounded it with wicks, if you put a cover over them, which is going to keep all the wicks separated, then that can be used for several people's menorah. However, if there's no cover and then it's just going to turn into one large fire because the wicks won't be separated, then this wouldn't even be good for one person because this is just one large fire and it's not a wick. Rava says that if you can only get Hanukkah candles or Shabbos candles, you should get Shabbos candles because of Shalom Bayis, that you want to have light in your house so there will be peace in your house for Shabbos, and that's the function of the Shabbos candles. And what if you have a choice between Shabbos candles or buying grape juice for Kiddush or wine for Kiddush? Again, you would get the Shabbos candles because of Shalom Bayis. Now here's Rava's question. What if you have Hanukkah candles, or you have the option between getting Hanukkah candles or for getting wine for Kiddush? Is it that we do the menorah because the menorah is for Pirsume Nisa, spreading the nace? Or is it only we would do Kiddush because of Tadir, which it means that it's more frequent and we usually like to go with the thing that's more frequently done? So Rava answers that you would get for the menorah because of Pirsume Nisa. Rav Huna says, if you're habitual with your Nero Shabbos, that you light candles all the time, you'll have sons who are Talmidei Chachamim. If you're careful with putting a mezuzah on your door, you'll have a beautiful house. If you're careful with your tzitzis, you'll have beautiful garments. And if you're careful with making kiddush, you'll come to fill many kegs of wine. Rav Huna visited Rav Avin a lot, and he saw that he was very good with both his Hanukkah and his Shabbos candles. And he said, you're going to have two great sons. And then he ended up having Rav Avin, Rav Idi Bar Avin, and Rav Chia Bar Avin. Rav Chisda visited Rav Shizvi's father a lot, and he saw that he was very careful with either the Shabbos or the Hanukkah candles, only one of them, not both, but either the Shabbos or the Hanukkah candles, and he said, you're going to have a great son, and he ended up having Rav Shizvi. Rav Yosef's wife used to light as late as possible before Shabbos, meaning she would light right before it got dark. And Rav Yosef taught her a braisa that says that in the Midbar, in the desert, when the Jews were wandering around, the pillar of cloud that they had during the day would overlap the pillar of fire, meaning it would go into the night a little bit. And the pillar of fire for the night would overlap with the pillar of cloud, meaning that would go into the day a little bit. So he said, you should light while it's still day, meaning that, oh, sorry, the pillar of fire started earlier in the day. So just like the pillar of fire started while it was still day, you should light while it is still day. So she was going to light earlier, but then an elder taught her a braisa that says that you can light when you want, as long as it's not too early, because then it's not going to be noticeable that you're lighting these as Shabbos candles, or too late, because then you might come to light right before Shabbos, and then you might accidentally do your lighting while it is Shabbos. Rava says, if you love the Rabbanan, you'll have sons who are Rabbanan. If you honor the Rabbanan, you'll have son-in-laws who will be Rabbanan. And if you fear the Rabbanan, you yourself will become one of the Rabbanan. And if you're not someone that learns a lot and you can't become a Rabbanan yourself, then people will listen to you like they listen to the Rabbanan. The Mishnah said that you can't use oil that has to be burnt for your Shabbos candles. What does that mean? Rabba says we're talking about truma oil that became tameh, which has to be burnt, because once you set aside this oil as truma, and once it becomes tameh, you have to burn it. And the reason you can't use it for your Shabbos candles is because since it's a mitzvah to burn, you might come to tilt the lamp to make it burn faster. But Abaye questions this. If that's true, then why do we not allow you to light with this on Yontif? Because on Yontif, there's no problem with tilting the lamp on for Yontif. So why can't you use these for your Yontif candles? Because we have a Mishnah that says that you can't use oil that must be burnt for your Yontif candles. So what's the problem with it? So he answers that it's a gzera that we don't allow you to do it on Yontif, lest you come to do it on Shabbos. Rav Chisda says that our Mishnah here is saying that Yontif is talking. Rav Chisda brings a different answer. He says our Mishnah is talking about Yontif that goes into Shabbos, meaning that you're lighting on Yontif, which is going into Shabbos, and you're not allowed to burn Kodesh things that became Tameh on Yontif. And that's the reason why. It's not because we're worried you're going to tilt it. It's because you're just not allowed to burn it on Yontif. But the next Mishnah that we're about to come to is talking about Yontif. So if that's true that the next Mishnah is talking about Yontif, then our Mishnah can't be talking about a case of Yontif. So Rav Chanina Misura answers that the second Mishnah, which is talking about Yontif, is just giving the reason for this Mishnah now, that you're not allowed to use oil that has to be burnt on Yontif, for your Yontif candles, because you can't burn things, Kadosh things, that became Tameh on Yontif. And we have a Braisa that supports Rav Chisda that says, All these substances which can't be used for Shabbos candles can be used for Yontif candles, except for oil, which must be burnt, because you're not allowed to burn kadosh things that became tameh on Yontif. Shkayach.